Now, the nation continues to grapple with last week's school shooting in Parkland, Florida, in which the perpetrator took the lives of 17 people. There's been a lot of debate over how to prevent the next tragedy from happening and how to stop guns from ending up in the hands of those who shouldn't have them. Our next guest is calling on Wisconsin lawmakers to create a gun violence restraining order. That's a legal tool that would allow close relatives or maybe other closely connected people to petition a court to temporarily take an individual's gun rights away if they present a danger to themselves or others. Nino Amato is public policy chair for the group United Against Hate. He's also the president and CEO of the Coalition for Wisconsin Aging Groups and an adjunct professor at the UW teaching criminal justice, social change, and sustainable public policy. Nino, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Well, give us the basics. How would this gun violence restraining order work?
Yeah, in simple terms, it's no different than someone getting a restraining order from someone who's being tracked or abused or... You've got people online, you know, doing some crazy things. In essence, what it does is it provides not just law enforcement, but teachers, family members, fellow students, a counselor, just about anybody, even a neighbor for that matter. Because if you look at the last five shootings, the FBI did have some of these people in their database. But it's a long process. What this does is makes a speed track to local government, to a judge, where you can't just arbitrarily say that person has a problem. You have to present evidence, much like you do in the case of a whistleblower. Then that person has a right to contest it, but you immediately bring them to court. At that point, if you have enough evidence, and there was enough evidence based upon what was already filed, there could have been a restraining order to do two things. One, you could never buy a gun, plus they could go into the home and take those guns away. And that would have prevented this case and four other cases as well.
And one of the key points here is this is a temporary thing, right? Someone who's been subject to this could get that reversed over time?
Yeah, absolutely. There's five components, and I'm glad you mentioned that. It has to be time specific, so it can't be any more than a year. And at the end of the year, if the people who filed the complaint still feel that it's valid to proceed, then that person can contest it as well. So it would pass muster relative to due process and would pass muster relative to constitutionality. Now, I believe in a lot of other common sense gun regulation that should be there. But at this point in time, what we really need to do is look for bipartisanship. And you would think this should be bipartisan. What Obama is currently proposing is an absolute sham. And let's not forget...
Obama,
I'm sorry. What Trump is proposing is an absolute sham. What Trump did and promised in the election is he was going to reverse Obama's last executive order that mandated Social Security Administration to turn over all records who were receiving Social Security with mental illness to the background check database. That would have impacted about 75,000 per year. What that would have done is then that would have been immediately into the database. He promised the NRA that he would, in fact, reverse that decision and kill it. And that's exactly what he did. What he's proposing now is fine-tuning a law that's already in place that if you get a dishonorable discharge and you've had any type of domestic violence while you're in the military, that record did not get into the background check. So there's doing very little, if anything. This is much broader. But let me just say this. This isn't about common sense gun control legislation and what's right or wrong. This is about money. Over $22 million went to 10 U.S. senators, all Republicans. And when it gets down to this, this is about a political action group called the NRA that's no longer training people. It's all about money and candidates. And it's also all about the fact, too, that they want other legislation. They want silencers legalized. When we had the chance after Las Vegas to prohibit bump stocks, they killed a bill. They killed any discussion. So to me, it's a red herring on the part of the administration. And I can simply say this. I'm really pleased to see high school students taking to the streets. They're making very good sense. I saw it in 1968 when I was a high school student when we protest the war in Vietnam. So there is a movement here, and it's got to put the fear of God into a lot of politicians right now.
So some of what you just talked about, there's going to be a lot of partisan disagreement over. This gun violence restraining order, you see Maybe bipartisan. And David French in the National Review wrote an opinion piece making a very similar case to what you're talking about in a conservative publication.
Absolutely. There should be no reason. When they say thoughts and prayer and we need to get mental people out from buying guns, here's a classic case that's already been tested under law to use. And if we can come together, that's great. But the NRA, quietly behind the scenes, is opposed to it. They're opposed to anything. And it all started back after Reagan had put a prohibition on selling assault rifles. When the sunset provision came up in 1992 after Clinton was elected, the NRA started to take a very hard line as an advocacy group. And they basically said, take no prisoners, and we're not going to have any indications of gun control. So as much as they're silent, they're working to kill even a potential nonpartisan bill like this because they scare the incumbents from either putting a challenger against them or backing money against their opponent.
This gun violence restraining order exists in a handful of other states, correct?
California has used it very well. Other states are following. Given the last shootings in the last year, more and more are looking ways to do it. And for instance, you might recall a number of years ago in Brookfield where a deranged husband who went through a divorce walked into a beauty parlor where his ex-wife was working and shot her and killed her friend. What you had there was a situation where she had already filed a domestic complaint. That would have shown up and therefore also would have prevented someone with domestic abuse. The other thing we have to remember here is that it's not about guns kill people. That argument where they say people kill people is ridiculous. It's ridiculous because we have a military and we have service people. And what do they give them to kill the enemy? To kill guns. This should really go into effect so it allows a broader base of people besides just family members, teachers, and others to go in and make a formal complaint, have to go under the rigor of evidence, and then have the person come with due process. That could have stopped this.
We're talking to Nino Amato from the group United Against Hate. He says Wisconsin lawmakers should adopt a gun violence restraining order law. It's a legal tool that would allow certain citizens to petition a court to temporarily take an individual's gun rights away if that person's a significant danger to him or herself or others. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Would you support a gun violence restraining order in Wisconsin? Should individual citizens be given more power when it comes to this method of possibly preventing shootings, of preventing gun violence? Is this law the right way to go about it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Nino Amato is with us from the group United Against Hate. He says Wisconsin should adopt a gun violence restraining order law that would allow some people to challenge an individual's gun rights in effect if they demonstrate that they pose a significant danger to themselves or others. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Would you support this idea of a gun violence restraining order temporarily separating someone from their firearms? Or do you think it's a bad idea? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Email ideas@wpr.org. We'll go to our callers now. Denise is with us in Madison. Denise, hi.
Hey, can you hear me?
Are you there, Denise?
Yeah, I'm there.
Okay, what do you think?
Yeah, so I'm absolutely in favor of this idea. A number of years ago, I would say about seven years ago now, my husband was being stalked. He was academic, and he had a disgruntled student that decided that it was his fault that he couldn't finish his degree, and he decided to start stalking. There's an official definition. It doesn't just mean somebody's looking you up online, and it means like the person was actually sending him threatening emails and phone calls, suggesting in some kind of vague ways that he intended to do something really serious. We were actually, his husband's work was locked down. They had all kinds of police involved. They had all kinds of restraining orders set up against my husband and a couple other staff people. And you know what? Nothing prevented this guy from getting a gun. Like he was able to purchase anything. I mean, there was no list with his name on it. It's it's just shocking that, like, even though we could have restraining orders because we were so worried and we were locking down all the buildings, that we, you know, we had our arms tied behind our back when it came to certain kinds of prevention.
Denise, thanks for the call, and that's what you're hoping to address in part.
Denise hits the nail on the head, because this is about verbal or written violent behavior by individuals. So in this case, they could file a complaint, get a restraining order, and that person would not be able to go in and buy a gun. And if they have guns, they'd have to turn those over until the restraining order ends and their behavior should end. And let me just emphasize, this law is consistent with and is recognized with the inherent self-defense and the inherent due process under law. And it specifically targets, again, not someone who's committed domestic violence, that should be included automatically, but it basically deals with the kind of verbal abuse we just heard from Denise. The other thing I want to make it aware of people in Wisconsin, we had tough gun laws here in the state. We had a 48-hour waiting period. The police, the sheriff's department, local law enforcement all wanted to maintain it. And this governor, unfortunately, and this legislature got eliminated the 48-hour. In Florida, they have a 72-hour waiting period. And now there's legislation being proposed that if you can't buy a beer at age 18, you shouldn't be able to buy a gun at 18. And now they're looking at pushing it to 21. Those are simple things we should be doing.
Denise, thanks for the call. Go next to Chris on the line in Slinger. Chris, hi.
Hi, how you doing? I find this whole topic to be absurd and a bunch of malarkey. It's just another overreaction of something that happened. If the FBI would have taken care of business down in Florida, this wouldn't have happened. But I'm going to run a scenario past your guest, and I'd like to hear his comment. I live in a home. I have guns. My neighbor is a knucklehead, starts acting weird. He knows that I have guns in my house. He calls the police on me because he knows that I have guns in my house, and then I'm going to be harassed by the police and have a restraining order put against me.
Chris, I got you. We're just about out of time. Nino, could this be abused?
Well, it could be abused if local officials do not follow the proper steps. And the proper steps is that if his neighbor would basically file a complaint, he has a right now to go through and basically show me evidence. What have I done that has threatened you in any way or anything else? So there is a due process clause here, and that has worked in the past for other restraining orders, and it holds up under court. Let me just add one other thing, too. This is not a bunch of malarkey. 200 people have died in the last couple of years. More people have died from domestic terrorists of young males getting access to guns and going into schools or going into churches, killing people. That's more than ISIS has done in this state. In this country. So here's a chance to come together and do something. His concerns are valid, but all the more reason why we have it in place. We don't have to create new laws. We just have to follow the process.
Nino, thanks for joining us.
Thank
Chris,
you.
Thanks for that call. That was Nino Amato, public policy chair for the group United Against Hate. He joined us to talk about the idea of gun violence restraining orders. He would like to see them become a reality here in Wisconsin.